All right, rocking it up a little bit more on the Must of This Week. That's a little bit of Incubus. Wish you were here. Anyway, my next guest, independent economist Benji Patterson. Benji, good afternoon. Welcome to the Muster. How are you? I haven't had you on for a wee while.
Yeah, it's been a while, Andy. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, good to have you on. Benji, just start off. There's been some massive changes, and I don't think we can underestimate how big a changes that this government is making. We've seen the changes to interest deductibility to try and tackle the housing crisis. We've seen the changes yesterday to the health system. That's just a couple of massive. We saw all overnight the other night they basically cut the live cattle trade. What's your take on the tact or the way that this government is actually moving now?
Well, the government is really clearly trying to chart a new course forward for New Zealand now, and they're beginning to try and make some really bold steps to changing some big strategic areas within the New Zealand economy. They're doing a lot in a short space of time, and some of these policies ultimately are going to work, but some of them are a little dubious as to what effect they actually will have, and will there be any unintended consequences from them.
Well, there's bound to be some unintended consequences. We talk about that all the time. But how much of this policy change is needed, and how much of it do you believe is ideological?
Well, like, I guess if we take something like the housing market, for example, Labor had always intended to make moves to improve the affordability of housing. You know, we had the Kiwi Bill debacle during their first term, and then their hand was really forced by the massive ramping up of house prices as a result of cheap cash that was thrown about to ultimately ward off an economic and financial crisis in New Zealand. And that cheap money, it was successful in warding that off, as were public health restrictions, but the unintended consequence was a massive ramping up of house prices. And now the government has, in a short space of time, really taken a whack-a-mole type approach to trying to dampen down demand.
With these changes, it's come along. Like, I agree with you that this government has got unfettered power now, effectively, right? They've got such a massive majority. But how many of these changes are impacted by COVID? And is the COVID situation making it easier or harder for them to do what they actually want to do as a left-wing government?
Well, I guess addressing COVID firstly, COVID hasn't created problems like these, like the housing market or like dysfunctionality in the health system, for example, but it certainly exacerbated these pre-existing problems. So that's what it's done. Now, in terms of the ability to react, COVID certainly has increased the involvement of government in our lives, and quite necessarily. But I think it has begun to condition us to, or at least condition government to being able to be more interventionist in their approach to what they're doing. And that's something we hadn't seen early in this Labor government. They've been much more cautious because the New Zealand public hadn't over recent times been so accustomed to such heavy involvement by government in its life.
It's a fascinating concept, that, and I agree with you. As a society, we are surprisingly compliant, aren't we, to what, you know, classed as such massive changes. And yeah, it's almost as if the compliance of COVID, of locking us down, has kind of carried through and allowing the government to get away, if that's your point of view, with some fundamental changes to the way we're going to live our lives.
Yeah, it is quite an interesting time to be alive, isn't it, Andy?
Yes, it certainly is. With all of these changes, as you said, you know, some are going to fail, some are going to have unintended consequences. Do you think broadly that this government is on the right track with what it's trying to do? Were these real problems that needed solving, or should it be left to the market to work it out?
Look, with the housing market, I don't necessarily agree with all the interventions taken, but we do have to have some big, bold moves taken in that space. It's become a place where, you know, we park a lot of money in New Zealand. We talk a lot about the housing market. we anticipate that there's going to be some capital gains coming our way, even if it's a situation where we haven't really provided a service, we haven't developed an improved housing for more people, if it's just a buy and hold. So that was something that, from an economics perspective, I've always seen as quite unproductive. I'd much rather see people being encouraged to, you know, have a nice house by all means, but also take a gamble, start a business, invest in a mate's business, try and make something with your money rather than flicking a house to the next person hoping for a gain. So from that perspective, that is really good to try and think about how we do that. So part of it's trying to remove some of that distortion that pushes us to speculating in that space over and above other assets. But at the same time, we can't beat about the bush. And part of the problem is that we're not building houses as quickly as we'd like to. So we really have got to put a lot of emphasis on lifting that supply. And that's something within the policy that there's been a small amount of money that's been earmarked. But I don't believe as yet that we've properly addressed the supply side things. That's a wait and see.
All right. We'll keep a really close eye on that. The travel bubble obviously has opened with Australia. How do you think that is going to affect, Taunau, Southland? We know it will be really positive for Queenstown. What's your take?
Yeah, look, well, I live in Queenstown, and everyone about town is quite joyful at present. It's been an excruciatingly difficult year for Queenstown residents, and finally it feels like there's light at the end of the tunnel. Now, Queenstown is one of the few places over the winter months that's going to gain from the bubble, simply because Aussies love to ski. They haven't been able to ski in a couple of years. They're all going to flock to Queenstown. Now, outside of Queenstown, Wanaka and a couple of the bigger city destinations, a lot of our regional visitor destinations are going to struggle during the colder months. So Fiordland, in particular, is one of those that traditionally hasn't attracted as many New Zealanders. We're seeking warmer holidays and hasn't been good at attracting Australians during the winter months. So unfortunately, the struggles for Taunau are going to continue over the winter months, and it's not going to be until summertime that the true benefits of the bubble can be felt more broadly in the region.
So
that is, of course, premised on the fact that we're expecting Australians to come in their droves, but to still travel in a similar way that they did pre-COVID. So if, for example, they decide to reimagine how they explore our backyard, and despite the cold, they put on a jacket and a beanie and go and explore those places that aren't typical winter destinations, if that occurs, it could be a little different.
Yeah, I guess that's one thing we've learned about COVID. A lot of the predictions and the expectations of what people will or won't do have been turned on its ear when eventually they're allowed to do it. So that will be really, really interesting to watch. Benji, thanks so much for your time on the show today, mate. Really do appreciate it. Great to get your thoughts. And I know it's a really, really busy time for you as an economist, sort of a lot of tea leaves to look into.
A lot of tea leaves, and just trying to make sense of what's happening around us and how to make good decisions as a business and also advising people in the policy realm.
So